Hello and welcome to African Media. I'm Zeenat Hansrud. Today we'll discuss reporting environmental issues in the media. And to do that, we'll go to the African continent and engage with three journalists from Nigeria, Kenya and South Africa. Joining us from Abuja is Atai Babs, founder of Climate Reporters, a bilingual online newspaper. Prior to that, Atai worked for the RFI Hausa service in Nigeria. From Nairobi, we have Stella Murumba, a journalist with the Business Daily. She's also the co-founder and a member of the Environmental Journalism Society of Kenya. And Sifo Kings in Johannesburg is the environment reporter for the Daily Mail and Guardian. You are all three very passionate about environmental issues, its impact on the lives of people in a time when degradation is rapidly felt. But just how high is it on the agenda of the newsrooms? Let's first go to Stella Murumba from Kenya, who's part of the Nation Media Group.
Honestly speaking, I don't think that environment is top of the agenda in many media houses here in Kenya. The reason being is that people tend to think that politics always comes first, because there's no news item that passes without you hearing about politicians, you know, throwing words here and there, here and there. But until a crisis before that, that's when you see on the news that there's an environmental issue in one place or the other. But on a normal day, to be sincere, environment hasn't been given its space as it's supposed to be. Yet climate change is here and we need to address it, and only media can do that.
So I suppose now that President Uhuru Kenyatta announced at the COP22 in Morocco that Kenya has a climate change act, that's going to be reported in the media in your country.
Yes, the Climate Change Act was something that was passed just the other day here in the country. But that is different from the real situation as what is happening. When he says that he's going to report on it, then we will wait until he comes back and tells us that this is what he's supposed to do. But on a normal day in the newsroom, you would want to report on, say, the COP22 that happened in Morocco. But until you send a reporter to Morocco, there wouldn't be any local news on climate change on the same day. So I think there needs to do more on this and also mobilize media houses, not just one media house, you know, reporting about climate change and the rest are reporting on politics and all that. So if we speak the same language, I think we can get this information out there clearly. And not just to talk over that there's a climate change act. Yes, there is, but the common locals, Kenyans, wouldn't know what is entailed in that climate change act.
Tai Babs, you're in Nigeria. You've decided to set up an online media devoted to environment, working with journalists in French and English from various parts of Africa. What's the scene like in Nigeria? And are you, a climate reporter, occupying a small niche market?
Yeah, part of the frustration that led to the establishment of Climate Reporter is the fact that environmental journalism have always occupied the back seat of our countries and particularly Africa's media experience. And so we decided to come up with a purely environmental online newspaper. And of course, we cannot partly blame the African media. Even the Western media is guilty of this as well, because most Western media organizations do not put environment or climate change as the front burner until there is a disaster. And that in itself is also the same thing that is on the African continent. There is a major international conference on climate change that's going to affect the whole world going on in Morocco, and many of our media organizations in the country and even in the West African region do not put that on the front burner. So it's all part of the fact that media is profit-driven, and so newsrooms decide on what can sell. And they feel that environment cannot really sell their papers or cannot give them the listenership. And so when they carry news about the environment, they limit it to the background. Maybe they talk it in one of the head pages or one of the add-on news on the broadcast schedule.
Sifo Kings in South Africa is the environment reporter for the Mail and Guardian. So Sifo, you seem to occupy a privileged space. Do most of the media in your country have a regular environment section, Sifo?
Sadly not. You know, when the culling happened after the 2008 recession and the newspaper industry decided to kill itself, all the luxury items, as people would say, get cut first for your science reporters, your environment reporters. So in South Africa, there's a problem with a lot of newsrooms losing those skills. So now your environment reporters are mostly freelance, or they're getting funds from, you know, overseas development agencies to tell the stories that need to be told. Yeah, there's a handful in the whole country that are employed full-time, so it is quite a lucky position to be in.
And what is it like broadly in Southern Africa, in the other neighbouring countries?
The problem that environment has is the same as the problem that Stella Natai said, where, you know, politics comes first. If someone important did something, that's what sells newspaper or gossip or scandal or that kind of thing. So you'll never see environment on the front page, except like they say, when you have a disaster and things break. But in SADC generally, there just aren't the resources for environment reporters. So you'll have very little training for environment reporters. So to explain the science and say why X natural disaster happened, there's a training problem, but also newsrooms, because they have so few resources, just don't employ environment reporters. So you'll have a news reporter will do environment work because they got a press release, and then, you know, they won't fully understand what they're doing and they'll make mistakes. So there's quite a problem, and, you know, it's everywhere.
Sifo, you say that your focus is attempting to get people to understand why they should care about something such as climate change.
Yeah.
It is true that as enthusiastic as you can be, and leaders may make big announcements, especially during gatherings like the COP22 in Morocco, at the end of the day, the millions of people also hold their fate in their own hands. So is a message that you're very passionate about getting across?
I think there's been a very bad, I don't know how to put it, like a PR or branding problem with environment and climate change from the media and from people like, you know, the big NGOs on, we keep shocking people. So it's the world's going to end. There's no point in doing anything because basically our ecosystems are going to collapse. So we've taken power away from people in that sense. So people look at the issue of climate change and they go, it's too big for me, so there's nothing I can do. And I think that's a big problem in this region, especially where, you know, people rely on natural resources to survive in many countries. And now we're saying to them, well, it's all going to fall apart. That's our fault. So the model of journalism, of just not giving solutions to people as much as we give shock and awe.
Atai?
Yes. I think it's a bit different in West Africa, and particularly in Nigeria, because across the sub-region, due to the activities of media and active citizens of society, many persons have been conscientized on the need to contribute and to play their own roles in environmental restoration through the planting of trees, through the establishment of climate change environmental clubs in secondary schools with focus on catching the young ones and making them to be part of the environmental watch right from their young ages. We have success stories, particularly in Burkina Faso, where Malam Yakuba has been able to reverse the encroaching desertification in a large portion of his country by just planting trees. He has planted over 3 million trees. Same goes for some parts of northeastern Nigeria, where we have farmers who have latched onto the tree planting activity. And equally, in the southern parts of Nigeria, Lagos, and some parts where ocean level rise remains a challenge, many persons are coming up with community-driven solutions aimed at ensuring that they reverse the trend while waiting for the big support which is supposed to come from government and from international organizations. And this is where I think the media has been able to do some level of work, but can still do more with the necessary support to take this message down to every language. Nigeria, we have over 250 ethnic groups in Nigeria, and there are challenges, you know, taking the message of climate change and environmental awareness to each of these groups using local indigenous media to reach them, because not everybody speaks English or French.
Stella, in Kenya, are the people, yes, readers, viewers, listeners, aware of impending environmental concerns?
I think from the grassroots, people are aware that environmental issues are real issues that need to be talked about. But the extent as to which, say, government and media is trying to trickle down the information to them, they can do better than what is being done now. But messages are being passed across through local radio stations that speak mother tongue to the people.
What I'm interested in let's say in the Nigerian case, is where the Nigerian Environment Ministry is placed. I mean, is it at the forefront of government? Does it get a lot of support, or is it just one of those things that governments have because they have to?
Previously, before they come in on this government, the Environment Ministry used to be at the back position of every environmental calculation or activity in the country. They were just known to be bureaucrats, always attending conferences late, always submitting budget late, and every other thing. But within the coming of the new government last year and the appointment of a technocrat, so to speak, in the environmental sector from the United Nations as the environment minister, she's been able to turn around a whole lot of things, and we can see that in the cleanup of the Ogoni land in the south-south Niger Delta of Nigeria. Also, the issue of oil spillage, which has received the immediate attention of the current government. We are saying that, yes, the Environment Ministry is beginning to live up to its expectations, because Nigerians believe that when there is oil spillage and it destroys community riverine areas, the government should ensure that these oil-producing companies pay for such damages. But in the past, the government used to be in cahoots with these oil companies against the community. But that has changed within the past 1 year, and of course, there is room for more.
Sifo Atari and Stella, which platforms do you think work best to communicate your messages on environment? Sifo?
So here we still have a very vibrant newspaper industry, so hard print, people buying newspapers still. It's not fantastic, but that's mostly how people get their news, how we still give them news. But social media, especially Facebook here, less Twitter, but more Facebook, is really good for engaging with people on like small little things, so elements of a story. So if you're talking about COP22, you could talk about what it means for you, or if there's a drought happening, what you could do to lower your water use. Those are really good mediums for people to engage with us, but Facebook is king.
So Facebook works in South Africa. What's the case in Kenya, Stella?
The same case applies here. So Facebook would be a better platform compared to Twitter, since with Facebook, you're not limited to what you can tell the people, like what is currently happening in the north of Kenya, where people are dying because of drought and because they don't have food. And that is an effect of climate change. And to let people learn how to grow their own food and manage their own environment, you find that there's too much aid, so that people end up depending on aid rather than facing the real issues. And also, local radio stations will also go a long way, because Kenya has 42 languages. So I think also if we use the local dialect radio station, we can be able to dissect the information on climate change and the effects of environmental degradation and all that, and people will understand. Because now this is someone who's speaking my own language, and if I explain it in this language, they'll be able to understand better than when they see something on a mainstream television that, say, COP22 is happening in Morocco. So what?
Thank you. Atari, what's the situation in Nigeria?
In Nigeria, prior to the advent of social media, newspaper was king. But recently, we see that there is a large drop in the patronage that newspaper print media enjoys in Nigeria. And so that drop is largely attributable to the increasing number of Nigerians who get on the social media bandwagon. And after 2010, there were over 70 million social media users in Nigeria, according to statistics. And with the current trend, about 120 million people are connected now on real life social media. And one major tool is the WhatsApp. Hundreds of millions of Nigerians are connected on WhatsApp, and information disseminated on WhatsApp goes far wider than any other medium. Followed next to this is Twitter, and then a bit of Facebook. Then Twitter, only restricted to the younger generation, who also need to be informed about environment. And then the older generation can always be accessed via WhatsApp. Where radio comes in as a second position is in terms of the indigenous language broadcast that they carry out, and their capacity to reach the people at the local level who may not have the understanding of English. So these are the two major ways that this message is being better transmitted in Nigeria.
Thank you, Atai.
I want to ask South Africa, Sifo, is it true that most major media organizations do not carry out investigative reports on environmental crises arising from oil companies when there are pollution, when there are cases of oil spillage, like we continually witness in Nigeria, where oil companies like Shell and Chevron damage the community's environment, and then major media organizations like Guardian and the rest do not threw light on this because of some form of funding that they received from this polluter organization. Is that true?
So the case in South Africa is the biggest environment issue is mining. So coal mining, gold mining. So the impacts that has on water and agriculture and things like that. And there's a lot of investigative journalism on that in South Africa specifically. But in Angola, oil is a huge issue. And in Mozambique, gas is a big issue. And in those countries, the media just don't have the resources. Or there's a lot of intimidation as well of journalists. So by government and by the companies themselves. So they either intimidate journalists or bribe them. So the countries around South Africa have got very serious issues with doing investigative journalism. They don't have capacity at all. So there you do see oil companies doing whatever they want and mining companies doing whatever they want in DRC and places like that. But South Africa, we're quite good. Because companies have to report to the stock exchange, the media are very good at investigating, and then there are consequences for them.
Thank you, Sifo Kings in South Africa. Thank you, Atai Babs in Nigeria. Thank you, Stella Murumba in Kenya. And thank you to our sound tech, Julien Maguaru. This is all we have time for this edition of African Media. You can follow me, Zinat Hansrud, on @ZXNT and listen to a longer version of our discussion with the journalist today.
Thank you, Stella, and thank you, Sifo. I wish you could have a longer time.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, Zinat.